Forever! Dog!
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Just writing down my stand-up joke ideas, because I'll forget them, because I'm doing stand-up for real tomorrow night.
Oh, shit. Where?
In Colorado.
Oh, shit. Are you there now? Is this the first time you've been doing it?
I'm not there. I'm flying there, I think, to do 20 minutes at a festival outdoors, and then I'm flying home for like $200. I'm not getting paid at all, very much. And
yeah.
It's literally like I'm so desperate to do stand-up that I don't.
You don't give a fuck?
I don't care at all. I don't give a fuck.
She don't give a fuck.
I just thought of a stand-up joke when I was in aging. Has anybody ever talked about it? I don't think so. So, like, you know how, like, you're aging and, like, oh.
These two are going to be here.
What's this lovemaking situation you have going on back there?
No, it's just, it's, they share one bowl.
Two dogs, one bowl.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's love making. I don't know if you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
In my head, in my heart.
Yeah. They're gonna. Hopefully, they won't be loud.
They won't be loud.
I promise.
Well, if they have opinions, let them free. Let them fucking.
All right.
Let them weigh in, man.
Andrew, this is the first time I'm meeting you. How are you?
True. What are you talking about? He's done this show before. He did it in person.
Yeah, years ago. Literally years ago. Anyway,
oh, yes.
Hi.
Wait, don't fuck this.
It. Yeah, you know, ish me. That's fucking plenty.
You know how many people go through the show?
I can't imagine.
I only remember the pets. It's what I remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's Edie. Edie's the big one and Peanut is the little one.
Mm. We need a Peanut. This is too cute.
Everybody needs a Peanut.
I need a Peanut.
Andrew, ooh. What's that shirt from?
I just found it. It's like a, I don't know, some, was it Nigerian?
That's amazing. It says,
yeah, it's
Ghana
cool.
Mobile no, Cinema.
Yeah, it's wow. Like a poster from something. I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Let's see, is this the best
Wait, one? I want to see what episode we had you on, because I'm like, I need recollection. This
it's
is
like,
driving me nuts.
Like literally years ago.
Do you remember the plot of the episode?
It was like in a casino.
Oh my god, yes, I remember now. Oh my god.
I don't remember.
So I'm trying to sell a couch right now, so
like years and years ago, the Royale, yeah.
You know, offer
yes.
up.
Yes. So, okay, it's called the Royale and it was like yeah, it's just the casino one. I mean, the one. That's the one.
Is that? Yeah, I remember. I feel honored because it was my other friend who loves Star Trek was like, "Oh, you got to do that episode? That's crazy." And I was like, "Oh,
why? Why? What did they say? What's
I like that anyone thinks that the honor of doing this show is like a crazy accolade.
Well, I just, you know, it's such a, it's, I guess to them, it was a very iconic episode.
It's usually foreign course, diplomats and the like, but
I am an iconic guest,
it's
as
true.
We all agree.
Yeah, you should slap your friend across the face. Understand.
Well, you got the casino one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
this is the
mm-hmm.
one Star Trek episode with a casino. Like, what? It's pretty cool.
Is that true? Well, I guess they're playing fucking cards all the time, but that doesn't count.
They are playing poker. So I'm curious to know if you kept watching Star Trek after this.
This is the test.
That.
Oh,
this
is God. Like the, was I supposed
this is a
to?
Long oh, ass shit.
No, this is like the HGTV check-in later, like to see if the renovations like worked for you. And some shows do it, you know, but like you'll notice that like Magnolia Productions, they don't, because most people will have their house renovated by Chip and Joe and then just flip it.
Mm-hmm.
Or just a little inside like, knowledge.
Lose it to property taxes, right? Is that a thing that still happens?
I hope not. I didn't know what that is, so
I've heard there's like enough, or I don't know if it was that show, but there was like a thing where like they improved the value of the house so much that people could no longer afford the property taxes, so they had to like, move.
Right? This is what I keep asking people, because my plan is to renovate my house, but I'm like, it's going to be like a $1 million house when I renovate. And then how am I going to, that's just going to make my life hell, right? Like what? Everybody's like, you'll have equity. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not money. They're like, but if you ever sell it, and I'm like, so I have to sell it so that I don't die? Like, I don't get it.
The answer is maybe. Yeah.
The answer
starts to become maybe. Yeah, you might have to sell that shit so you don't die.
Begins to become maybe.
Hold on.
Give me a peanut.
This is Edie. Edie's so mad. She's so mad. Oh, Edie, say
so
a little something.
Mad. So mad. Oh God, those dogs are cute.
They're good dogs. It's a little sad. I inherited them because my friend's uncle died.
The couch is here. I'm sorry. No, talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, we're doing this. I didn't realize.
You know, Alice. So wait, you inherited?
Yeah. So what happened was, my friend's uncle, who was their owner, died in October. Not from COVID, but I don't know if that matters. Feels like necessary. Anyway, he had like a heart attack.
It feels necessary to point out. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, doesn't really make a big difference. Anyway. And my friend is allergic to dogs. So I was like, fuck it. I'll just watch them. And then it was like, oh, I'll just hang on to them. Yeah, they're really cute.
What a way to hang on. Like, what a way to attain your life companions. Just like, oh, fuck it. I'll just keep dogs.
Them. Well, they were so sad. And then they started being less sad. And I was like, all right, well, this feels cruel to like get rid of them. Because they were so their last owner had a heart attack while he was walking them. So they were like there, which is like just so sad.
Babies. I know. Don't let them hear it too much. Don't talk about it too loudly,
because they're gonna get ideas. That's how they're gonna kill me.
They're already traumatized. They're gonna get PTS.
Oh, good girls. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I can keep the camera angled down.
It's cute as fuck. So Alice left, but I wanted to ask you. I truly wanted to ask you about Star Trek. Like, you never watched it anymore. You were like, okay, this is enough.
I only I can't remember if I even said this last time, but like I watched it like in syndication. So like I never watched it in order.
Yes.
To me, Star Trek doesn't have an order. It's just like, every episode is just some crazy shit. We're like, oh, that's nuts. So I kind of gathered, and I think that when I was a kid, the episodes of Next Generation would then immediately go to Deep Space Nine. So I feel like I have a sense of like what the story is, but not a good one. It's just a grab bag. It's just like random. So I've only seen random episodes.
That's what it feels like. I mean, there certainly feels like a continuity. When you start watching them in order, you start feeling like, especially because people age, they spend so many time, like so many years filming it. You can see like, also in terms of plot, they have things here and there, you know, like a cute little Easter egg or like a reference to something that happened mm-hmm. before. Those are the kind of like pleasures of seeing it in order. But in reality, you could just pick top 10 episodes and just like go with that.
Wait, do you guys do like a new, you guys are just going in order, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God. Wait, so I was season 2, episode 12, and today's episode was what, 7?
This is 7, episode 24. So
holy shit.
I know.
Oh my God. You guys have been doing this so long.
It's been years, like
literal years.
So this is like the previous to last episode of the entire show.
Oh.
If you can't believe it. Yeah.
I actually cannot. Oh, wow. So double honor. This is, you guys just, I get all the good spots.
And you got the, at the beginning, like you're a good sandwich of like,
yeah,
beginning, like season two, and then straight up season seven, which is crazy. Like, this is a show that has seven seasons, and each season is like 24 to 26 episodes or something like that. So,
right.
It's a lot.
I can't believe. Are you guys going to, what are you guys going to do next?
We're trying to figure it out right now. We're asking our fans if they want us to do the next show in or in like timeline order, which would be DS9, so Deep Space Nine, or Voyager came after. I feel like we should do DS9. So this one is about the Enterprise moving around space, getting into adventures, and the Deep Space Nine is a space station that's fixed near a wormhole. So the it's a little more boring because it's everything's in the space station and they don't move two planets.
Right, right. It's like a it's like a truck stop.
Yeah, it's a truck stop. It's like a gas station.
Yeah.
It's a gas station where people take naps. And and so it's, but the wormhole is like the like there's a, you can get to like a galaxy or like a quadrant of the galaxy that's like you couldn't reach it if you go didn't go through the wormhole in like a human life. It would be too long of a trip. So things get through the wormhole that are like extremely fascinating and dangerous. So that's what it is, what's all about. And I like that one. And some there's some overlap. So like the last season of TNG, they set up a lot for DS9. It's a new show that they're creating. They set up a lot of the DS9 stuff so that people can
hop
on over. DS9's fun.
I feel like I watched a lot of. I mean, I don't really remember. I was just like a kid, I guess. I don't. It's it was just it felt like it was on.
You would have weird flashbacks, probably.
If you'd watch DS9. Well, because I recognized all the shit, and I kind of remember, right? Like, oh yeah, there's a fucking like Nazi storyline. I was like, like all that shit. I was like, oh yeah, okay.
Basically, the Dominion is. So there's a Dominion, which is like they're basically shapeless beings.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they take human shape just to grace us with, you know, interaction. And then they have a military army, which is like the Jem'Hadar, and they keep them drugged so that they do what they need. It's crazy. It's like it is some Nazi shit.
That's so intense. That's like
it is so intense
compared to the. I mean, clearly they just kept pushing it, and then that is the nice thing about watching a season two and then a season seven. I was like, oh yeah, this is like clearly some shit happened in between because you're just like, what is going on?
Oh wait, were you? How was your? I mean, since Alice is apparently. Gone.
Did she say she was selling a couch or buying a couch? What is
she
happening?
She just said, oh, the couch.
Yeah.
The couch is here.
I thought she was selling a couch.
I thought she was getting a couch delivered. So we all have crazy theories. But I don't know. You know?
Anything could be happening.
If you're at home watching, tell us what did Alice say? Did Alice get a couch? Did she get a couch delivered? Did she sell it?
Are we keeping all this? If we keep all this, that would be incredible.
Oh my god, I can't believe my audio was on the whole time. It's so embarrassing.
If you're watching at home, what did Alice do? What did Alice go do?
If you're watching,
if everyone tune in.
Everyone at home, tell us, tweet your theories on what Alice meant by the couch, and then left.
I did just say the couch and then walked away.
Now producer Skylar has a huge potential headache of maybe keeping some of that. You guys should really make him keep it.
Oh, some please. I because that will be like
we're I'll talking about in. Star Trek anyway.
I'll tune in and be like, wow. You know?
What the fuck? Wait, okay, wait, what
Andrew inherited the dogs from someone who had a heart attack. Let's just start there. Mm-hmm. And then
I have dogs. That's it.
he was taking care of them, and then he was like, oh, fuck it. They're happier here now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt mean. It felt mean to give. I was trying to get them adopted. The
it
other
felt
thing
mean
that
to
is,
give them back?
No, no, no. So it was my friend's uncle who actually died while he was walking them, which is so depressing. So they were just like kind of traumatized. They're just traumatized little doggies. But then if you really want to lose faith in humanity, it was like impossible to get them adopted. This was like November last year because like all the rescues are like, well, so here's the thing. We're overloaded with dogs because so many people who like adopted dogs at the beginning of the pandemic are giving them back.
I fucking knew this was going to happen.
Yeah. It's fucking just
knew
horrible.
It. I knew this was going to happen. And I can't talk about it on social media like I want to because I'm a white woman. Yeah. It would be too on the nose. Do you know what I'm saying? We just don't need to hear it from me. And you know what I mean? Am I the right mouthpiece for this issue? No, I'm not. But at the same time, I fucking knew it. Fucking idiots. People should not be allowed to, and I'm going to, what if I was writing this down as a stand-up joke? Have, I'm just kidding.
dogs. That's my time. That's what you would
honestly, say. People are going to get so excited to see stand-up that I'm going to waffle the whole thing. Be like,
yeah.
What's with people? They shouldn't have dogs. And everybody's going to be like, yeah.
Alice. What did you go do suddenly?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you really want to know?
I'm just dying to know.
I had this dog I didn't want anymore. And it's so much more humane to shoot it. So I have a couch I've been trying to sell on OfferUp or on Craigslist. And like people kept like, you know, people are so flaky and they'll just be like, yeah. And then so I finally got somebody to buy it. Then they just didn't show up, and I had them scheduled for 2 hours ago, and they just came now. So, but I have to get rid of this couch because you know you got a couch and it's you got surplus.
They came. They got it. They actually got it though.
It's gone. Oh, so right now I just gave a man a couch.
Damn.
Nice.
That's what I just went and did.
Damn.
And I got money. Ooh.
Hold it up. Hold it up for the camera.
Yeah. Right.
Hold like, up I feel the money.
Like you can't have this much. Skrilla like on you and not, you know.
I haven't just had like cash for. Oh, that's pretty good. I had to get cash. I started having a cleaner come by my apartment again, and I was like, shit, I got to get money. Andrew got to have money now. Sucks.
Andrew got to have money for the cleaner. So tell us about the cleaner. Would it be someone you recommend?
Sure, I don't know. This is like when people are like, do you like your dentist? And I'm like, I don't know.
Don't have a lot of, yeah, it I don't works. Have a lot yeah, of context.
Yeah,
to
I don't have it. It seems fine, but like, it's, I really find, I don't like it when people are like, I love my doctor. It's like, how many doctors have you fucking had? Like, I have no context. I have no idea. The only time I knew I had a bad dentist was in New York when one time she looked at my teeth and was like, great job, Andrew. Perfect as usual. And I was like, okay, well, I know that's not true. So you were lying to me.
And
I don't like
that. You've never
seen
her before?
No. I had.
She's
like, I was
like smoking.
I was just like, I know my teeth aren't fucking perfect. Don't tell me that. It was crazy.
Maybe they wanted to make you feel good. Maybe they were a good doctor, a good psychologist.
I don't need a lion-ass dentist.
So you know that Seinfeld has a stand-up? Little snippet in his show about doctors, like when people are like, yeah, my doctor's good, I recommend him, and it's like, how do you know they're supposed to be good? Like, it's he's just like, I don't know, he has a bit about it. And like season 3 episode like 4,
I've never heard of him, so I'm gonna look him up after this.
Wait, Veronica, are you like just a knows every episode of TV person? You've rattled off too many season and episode numbers.
I don't know. I just I'm watching Seinfeld season 3 right now.
Oh, sure.
Casually with my housemate and my non-sexual housemate. And then.
Okay. Nobody needs to say that. It's not a qualifier that most of us have to.
But I have to because you know most my life.
It's true.
I have to because you know what kind of little critter I am.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's nodding along.
So we somebody's like Craigslist interviewing to move in with you, and you're like, so fucking no, right? Okay.
Had to ask.
This is
absolutely
me.
Absolutely had to ask.
And they're like, did you?
Me being like, you down? No down? Just doesn't matter. I just want to know. I just
wanna... asking. It's the form. Put it on the form.
I love no down.
No down? Are you down? No down? Neutral down? Ooh.
Oh.
That's a cat. There's cats and dogs. Look, if I just include mine. Look. Oh, you can see her right there. Look.
I think it's cute. I think it's...
Is that a pillow? Is this too personal?
No, that's a beanbag. That's a gigantic beanbag that I put on top of my bed. Personal.
Holy shit. I don't know. I feel like talking about...
You should see it.
That was the Zoom podcast thing, I feel, that kept happening. It's like people... Oh, yeah. It's... Okay, so that's... So Veronica has a... We'll say conservatively 3 Veronica-sized beanbag on her bed. Is that correct?
It's actually one of our sponsors, Yogibo. They make this human body pillow.
Okay. Yeah. So at my house, like at my building, yes, 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
At my building on Twitter.
Yeah. a package arrived that was like, you know, the size of a refrigerator.
Yeah.
And it was like... it had the right number, but the wrong street. It was just like a completely wrong delivery. And my neighbor was like, what the fuck is that? And because it was super light and it was a Yogibo.
It was a Yogibo
brand. That.
It's so big when it arrives.
This thing came in. It came in such a big box. I was like,
yeah,
what can I do with this box? Like I said,
I have a shipping place. And they were mad.
I legitimately thought it was a fridge. I thought it was a fridge.
Yeah, it's a fridge. And my shipping place, when I got it and I came to pick it up, they were like, here it is. Like, clearly they've been mad about having it there.
It's so comfortable to sit with another person in there. Like, there's literally not that much of a struggle.
How can you even, like, see the other person from the size of it?
You don't. And that's the beauty of it. You're just like... On your side, they're on the same beanbag.
You don't use it as a body pillow because it's too
away
big.
Away from you. No, it's not a body pillow.
When you were sitting on it, it looked like the illustration of like the Little Prince. Like it looks like you're like on a tiny planet.
Yeah.
It's just like...
That is fucking cute. That's a cute
You know what
image.
I'm saying? Yeah. It's
you know
so, it's huge.
No, I'm saying Little Prince.
It's so huge.
I am a Little Prince, which is the weird part about it all. I like if I'm a man, I'm a prince.
If I'm a man,
when I'm a man, I'm a prince. Yeah, that Yogibo bag was like given to us. Funny thing is, like, it's the power of manifesting because all I wanted all of the quarantine was like, oh my god, my life would be so perfect if I just had a beanbag, and suddenly it appeared.
You manifested. Box. You manifested that beanbag for sure.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to try to get them to sponsor my podcast because I just want to see my neighbor's face when another box arrives. And she's like, what the fuck? Oh, this one's supposed to be here. You fucking lunatic. That's what I want. I bet the dogs would love it. Oh, the dogs would love it so much.
They do because they sit on it and they act like it's theirs. And they're like, and you're like, you know that 8 million of you could fit on this, right? And they're like, no.
Also think there's a world where you put the dog on one end and then you jump on the other end of it and launch the dog into the air.
That works for
I
dogs.
I thought that
maybe.
Would happen
Not
with my
as much
cat.
For cats.
But
they don't.
Look, see how I put it on my bed? It's also that my cat can reach the window. But every time I sit there to like chill for a little, she barely lifts. Like this beanbag is good. It won't do the catapult.
It does
effect.
The memory foam wine glass thing.
Yeah, it doesn't do the catapult. It does the memory foam one.
I see what you did there. Catapult.
It's not the physics that you think that you learn in high school. It's the physics that are advanced.
What?
That you learn in Starfleet Academy. All right, sorry.
It's not a different physics. There's like two tracks.
The world advanced. The world got better.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome. Thank you.
They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Great segue, Andrew.
Let's talk about it. Preemptive Strike, Star Trek, Season 7, Episode 24. Last episode. This is the
penultimate.
This is the 175th episode of 176 episodes produced.
I feel like we need a soundboard effect for that.
Let's do it.
You know me, I'll just take 100 years to boot that up.
And the one line description is, Lieutenant Rowe is sent undercover to root out a Maquis cell. That's it. So, of course, we had to see.
Yay!
That's it.
We had to see Lieutenant Rowe again. Of course, we had to see her, like, we didn't know where she went, and she comes back just to aim a gun at Riker eventually and leave Starfleet forever.
Wow, big spoilers.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, it's been 30 years, so... Andrew, we want to know your opinions. We want to know your thoughts.
Give us your opinions.
This shit was... significantly, I did not expect to be watching the fucking Space Departed.
Thank you. It's like an episode of The Wire.
It's too much. I was like, holy shit. We're gonna have a fucking like a undercover cop episode. There's like that weird I didn't realize she was supposed to be like a hooker for undercover.
Yeah,
for
that doesn't make any sense at all.
That was real
until
weird.
The end. That was only until the end. Yeah.
That was, I should have said sex worker. I guess it's just,
well listen, this isn't cancellation in the city. This is Trex in the city. So we got you.
Yeah, it was, ooh. Anyway, it was,
look, we do edgy stuff here. You know, we tell it like it is.
Oh no. Alice is going back to being she's stand up. Alice is in the house.
Uh-oh.
This is her Rogan moment. This is wonderful.
That's right. I'm Blow Jogan. I really want to do a character that's Blow Jogan. It's just like,
I think that's perfect.
The other day, I was like, I have a thought. And I was like, why not? You know? And that's pretty much, you know what I'm saying? Is that a good Joe Rogan? I think I'm actually kind of getting somewhere
that
with that.
That's pretty good.
You're getting somewhere. You're getting somewhere.
I mean, like, if I want to do an impression of Joe Rogan, I have to, like, listen to him.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. You could probably listen to some old Fear Factor and basically get the cadence at least.
Mm. Mm.
What the fuck was I going to say? I was not prepared for the intensity of this episode. I was not prepared for the psychological, like
the Tony Soprano,
of it all.
The two daddies.
Yeah, that was too much. I wasn't ready for this. Well, also I will be honest, I fully forgot that I was doing this today. And so I did not watch the episode last night. I watched it in a panic at lunch. During lunch, I was like, oh fuck, I forgot.
So you were like prepared for some light.
You had the full Veronica experience. This is great.
Yeah.
So we are on the same track. That's what I do.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And
well, it's okay. So, you know,
no, it's actually better this way because you were shocked by how.
But and here's my other question, though, because I was under the impression that like the main like crew of the Enterprise were like celebrities in the world of Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel that that's the case. Why would you? Why are you backing away from that now?
So my question was the two times that people from the Enterprise like interact with just like the folks around. Mm-hmm. One is when like Worf and Data are like in the bar.
And,
I was like, they're like celebrity cops, basically.
Yeah.
It just feels like people would be like, oh shit.
Exactly.
Those
How are they not? These guys
on, yeah, they're on the space news all the time. One like, would imagine.
Also, if they're they maybe a wig. You know what I mean? Like maybe just put Picard in a wig. Like
yeah,
why not?
And then, Picard is there. Yeah, just hang it out. And you're like,
it's more credible. Like, the Picard one was hard. The Picard one was hard
because he's like famous.
That's like seeing James Franco doing his thing, you know, like hiring a hooker or something. It's just like,
it's just like seeing Brad Pitt at your party, like being like, you're like, hi, how are you doing? And he's like, oh, we've never met before. My name is Chad DeWitt. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you're clearly Brad Pitt. You didn't even try to cover it up at all.
Yeah.
You've done nothing.
I have a few fun facts about this episode. One is that it's a pretty
Wait, let's do a sound
one.
Effect for fun facts. Hold on a second. Here we go.
Okay.
No? Okay.
This is the previous to last episode, and it was directed by none other than the one, the only Patrick Stewart. And this is the only episode directed by Patrick Stewart not to feature Data in a prominent role. So there you go.
Hmm.
Another previous to last episode that was directed by the captain was the DS9 previous to last episode, directed by Avery Brooks. That's fun. The showrunner did not intend to make this episode as a return for Ro Laren to see her one last time. In fact, the actress Michelle Forbes was not in good relationship with anyone at Star Trek, and they had to call her and convince her because this was the only plot that they fucking had to finish the schedule. So Jerry Taylor had to go and fucking call Michelle Forbes and be like, here's the pitch, can you please do it? She had already rejected doing the S9 and she was not in good terms with Star Trek. So they actually, it's a perfect storyline for Michelle Forbes, which I guess was in character as an actress as well, because she is Ro Laren. And they convinced her to stay, and they gave her a plot line where Ro just aims a gun at everyone at Star Trek and flips them off, which is great.
It is true. She has a shocking amount of, like, story. Like, it is simply a day player story, and I was like, what is happening? I was like, is she a big deal?
Yeah, she was this recurring, so she eventually, okay, so she played the daughter of a guy that was an amazing guest star, so she comes in at the end of the episode being like, hey, so the entire episode where the Michelle Forbes first appears is the one where she comes from a planet where people after 60 they have to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. But Troy's
it's called
mom
Hollywood,
right?
Baby.
Oh,
yeah, right. Oh boy.
Love it.
Wait, you both were dying 40, inside 40, at the same time to just like mm-hmm. you're both it formed equally. It was like
we
a perfect
there.
Experiment.
Sort of like a bitter Voltron.
You're both like Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
She came to give shit to Starfleet and be like, let my dad kill himself. This is our tradition. So her acting was so good that they brought her back like two episodes later as Ro Laren. And then she became this recurring guest star and a heavy character in all of Star Trek. But she was, you know, only sporadically there because I think the main actress did not want to be in this so much.
Why? Like, I don't understand. Everybody else on this show, everyone who we know besides Wesley, besides Will Wheaton, had a good experience. Will Wheaton had a terrible experience on Star Trek, but everybody else had a good experience with the rest of the cast. But I wonder if it's like one of those things where it was like shitty to work on the show unless you were a series regular.
Why did Will have a bad experience? I didn't.
Famously, Wheaton was pressured into not taking other jobs, even though he wasn't a series regular, which is not, even by today's brutal standards, is not, you can't do that. You can't hold somebody who's not a series regular in a position, like in first position for everything forever. Like you can, especially when they're not filming, you can't dictate, but he would try to film other stuff. And he had this part in a movie that was going to be a really big deal for him. And basically, I think Roddenberry, I don't know who it was, some producer, like, sabotaged it or something. It was really fucked
up. Oh, crazy.
And he had a terrible time. But, you know, because he's also the only, like, preteen on the show. Nobody else was, you know.
I don't know why Michelle Forbes, she just didn't want to be a serious regular at the time. And that's it. Like, that's the only explanation I'm seeing here. That is unusual, for sure.
It is. I think it's unusual.
Especially because her character, like, they offered, Kira Nerys from DS9 is a character they wrote to replace the fact that Ro did not want to be crossover.
Sure. So that makes sense. I kind of remember that. Here's a separate question. In the world of the show, in this episode, there's a little part where after going through this big thing about how they need her to go undercover, they're like, fuck it, Riker could go undercover too.
Yeah.
He's wearing the same prosthetic that in our world signifies that kind of alien. Mm-hmm. But in their world, I guess I'm like, is that, it just feels weird because it's still clearly just like a little bit of like fucking like putty stuck to the bridge of the nose. Right. But yeah. I'm like, is this, it felt like this weird, like kind of like Star Trek version of blackface thing that was happening where I was like, what is he doing?
Frequently. they dress as other races frequently. Thankfully,
that
it's
is
not
blackface.
Thankfully, it's not exclusively blackface. It seems like
yeah, but Bajoran face. I mean, it's like
it's Bajoran face. It's Klingon face,
and Bajoran are an oppressed people. It's not like Bajorans are some ruling class, like, you know, Cardassian Empire. Like, they're Bajoran are like really down on the power, really low down on the old pyramid of, you know, the pyramid of power, that phrase that everybody always says and knows. So that is, yeah, it's super disrespectful. No wonder she pointed a gun at him. She's like, this is not okay.
But his face with that earring looks so good.
It's funny that he's like in the earring
more.
And shocked. Anytime Riker is shocked and has like a dangly earring, it's like, that is a moment for me. That is a whole mood.
That was gold. Yeah. To me, I was like, this is a photo. So let's describe the plot line. Also, they brought back our favorite commander. I mean,
yeah, that's the scene I was pulling.
Admiral. Oh, great. She's weirdly like Nechayev. Her voice is so this is an admiral that has like a rough relationship with Picard. Usually
they've had like a really tumultuous time.
She's like a stick in the mud and usually has Picard doing things that are horrible. So I think they brought her back to call back that native indigenous episode that we saw recently, because it's the same storyline. Like, they sign a peace treaty. Now the Cardassian border enters a few of the Federation colonies, and it's up to the Federation colonists to leave or deal with the Cardassians. So a lot of the colonists, including our indigenous episode or native episode, they decide to stay where they are and deal with the Cardassians. But the Marquis are like, we're staying and we're fucking shit up. So that's the plot line. But it comes from a previous episode where we already dealt with that. And she was in that episode. So I think they brought her back to remind us, like, this is a continuation of this.
Yeah, but also to show that the repaired relationship. Because, like, remember Picard was like, I don't know how to deal with this woman. And then like somebody was like, you should bake for her. And then he did, and
you
it was fine.
And she was like, that's thoughtful. But in this specific scene, she's like, she's so afraid. And Picard somehow picks that up from talking to her. But her voice to me sounds so sultry. I was
that moment where he's like, you sound troubled or whatever. I was like, does she?
Yeah.
She sounds sultry. Here?
Yeah.
It's like a weird
vibe.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart's like, you sound troubled, or you're supposed to, according to script, but honestly.
Honestly, you sound relaxed and a little horny.
Who am I? The fucking director or something? I guess this is the take.
Let's see it.
No Balerian canopy this time, Captain.
I thought twice was pushing it a little.
It's just as well. They're extremely fattening.
Fattening.
You missed Gullivec by a matter of hours. I asked him to stay. I thought that an admiral's assurances might convince him that we are trying to deal with this Maquis situation.
Evek manages to make the Cardassians sound like helpless sheep being preyed on by Federation wolves. The truth is, we caught the Cardassian government supplying its colonies in the demilitarized zone with weapons.
Now, Golovec assured me that they had stopped that practice.
Huh. How comforting.
Admiral, this Maquis situation has you worried.
Believe me, Captain. If I were living that close to the Cardassians, I'd keep a phaser under my pillow, too. But in the last weeks, we've seen signs that the Maquis are moving beyond self-defense. Their ranks are growing. They're acquiring ships, weapons. They seem to be preparing for a more aggressive military posture. We've got to put a stop to them before the entire demilitarized zone ignites. But before we stop them, we have to find them. They seem to be scattered in small cells around the zone, and we don't have reliable intelligence about any of them.
Perhaps you need an undercover operative.
Our thinking exactly. We intend to infiltrate their organization, and the person we want to do it is aboard your ship right now.
Starfleet wants me to infiltrate the Maquis?
Yeah, that's basically it, bitch. And you're gonna have to go. You just got here, and it's awkward, but yeah, so she's like...
That's exactly our thinking.
But that's as if like
it's fatty. I would keep it under my pillow.
I was like ASMR
too. I really thought the plot was gonna be she is the one in charge of the partisan like group.
Really?
I thought she was going to be the Maquis. I mean, having no history, just the way she was being so cagey and weird, I was like, is this going to be a thing where he's like, send someone undercover, and then it was that woman all along? That's what I
like.
I thought.
Yeah, because her performance was so random. Like, I love to imagine Patrick Stewart during that take being like, can we do one where she's fucking at all neutral? Why is she, like, why is she, like, coming on to me? Is there a way for us to... I'm diffusing it, but I can't. Like, so intense. So.
Also, they have like, they have Ro. They tell Ro like, okay, Ro, you've been a rebel all your life. You clearly are like, you've been court-martialed. We just want to send you one last mission where we test all of your loyalties at once. It's as if they told me, like, hey, you're going to go infiltrate Venezuelans and for the Americans. I'd be like, all right, you can try. Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
We'll see what ends up happening. Like, I'm probably going to end up being Venezuelan again.
Yeah, right. And it's just like probably just, and she's like, literally to Picard, she's like, the only reason I will do this is because I like you. Just you. That's it. I don't have any, like... But that's what rubs for me, is it like she spent how many years doing this elite training for this type of mission with Starfleet? So it's like weird that she suddenly, like, if she, like, imagine, like, she went through this whole training with them. Why? Like, why go through a rigorous training with a certain Federation if you're going to be like, nah, my loyalties can be bought. It's like the whole point.
Also, it's like two daddies, right? Picard just didn't say the right things or something because the other guy was like, I play the instrument, you know. And I eat foods, you know.
I like the foods you like. So
sold.
I was all like, they were like, oh my God, you eat this thing? And I was like, I mean, it is clearly a breakfast burrito they just like just brought in from Crafty right now. Like, come on, guys.
This is Mexican tradition.
Just make it look crazy. If you're having an alien food, just make a crazy purple thing.
All right, we're flying in burritos. Hopefully that works. Are they at least green? Green wraps? No? Perfect.
All right.
At this point, whoever's making props is like...
Yeah, I love how much they, at the end of the seasons, they're like,
this one.
We got no budget left. I mean, zero.
So in this episode, we have... Ro Laren, who we know is a rebel, and she doesn't want to do anything the Starfleet way. She's challenged Riker. She's challenged Picard. She comes back just to visit, and it just so happens that the Marquis are causing trouble. It's people who are almost like basically her people in the struggle that she would be in if she was in Starfleet. And they sent her to do this one last, mission.
One last job.
My one last job as an undercover.
I don't do that anymore.
And she, it's about her relationship with her lost dad. She saw her dad be killed in a brutal way, and that's part of her trauma. Like, they explore it several times during Star Trek. So I was happy to see Ro again. And I was happy. I couldn't remember if she was going to get killed, but then I remember she's not. She just leaves Starfleet, and that's the ending of Ro's storyline.
Entire character arc. Yeah. I would point out, though, it's like, look how, like, from the beginning, so easy to infiltrate this organization. At no point was there any challenge.
They were really shitty at their one job.
They have one job, and it's just to, like, make sure there's no spies, and it's like just like whatever. Yes. So there's a scene where
she was here, just missed her.
Worf and Data pretend to be searching for her in this bar, and they're like, "Oh, we really want to find this interloper," and they catch her. They catch her slipping.
It was really nice meeting you.
She's making out with a gross dude.
Oh, did you see that? The guy who's disappointed about
he's
making
like,
out.
Oh.
Yeah. Aww. He's like, this is my lucky day. This shit never happens to me. Oh.
Dude, you already got lucky. Go be happy with it.
You know, also though, when Data and Worf come in, they're just like a woman with dark hair. And then right at the bar, there's another woman with dark hair. And yeah. I was like, it's just like just a little more convincing backstory.
Yeah, a Bajoran with dark hair, maybe.
Or anything.
There's no
yeah.
other Bajorans there.
I'm so weird. So weird.
I gotta say, the costumes, Rose specifically, I was like fascinated by this jacket, this little getup. It was just so exciting.
I also like, if you look, this woman when she sits down at the bar, this woman who leaves, it's funny. Just like,
she sits and she's like, oh no, she's the woman with dark hair. Yeah,
she's the dark haired lady.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So this is like a Maquis guy coming up to her.
So, did you kill that Cardassian?
Starfleet thinks I did. That's reason enough to hide. Why did you tell them that I'd left?
There are worse things a person can do than kill a Cardassian soldier.
You don't often meet someone willing to say that out loud.
In the zone, there are a lot of us who feel that way.
I'd like to meet people like that.
Boom, easy does it. Just like,
and people realize this in the bar, they're like, whoa!
What just wonderful pacing.
It's like so easy. Like, hey, so I'm part of an organization that is looking for new recruits. It's just like so quick. Like, that guy is the person who you're letting just talk to people. Like, he's just like, hey, I like to kill Cardassians like all the time. And she's like, whoa, nobody says that aloud here. That's like not allowed at all. And he's like, I know a lot of guys who feel that way. You should come with me. It's like, to make it harder.
And then he just publicly lasers her so that everyone
dope.
In the bar is like, whoa.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a secret organization.
This guy's not hiding anything.
He is like James Bond level of spy, just like doing shit in the like James Bond walking around with a tuxedo all the time. It's like, I'm not a spy. I'm just a man.
Never been a spy. Why did I even bring that up?
Normal.
No one's, sir. This is a Wendy's. So
sorry, one other little thing before that happens is I was really hoping the part where Picard goes and tells her she has to go undercover, because she is unpacking at that point, and I really wanted to see her just repack.
Yeah.
Like, while the sequel, like, all right, fuck me, I guess.
I love repacking.
All right.
Like, nope, put this back in.
Take it out,
back
put
in
it
my
back.
Little tube.
Yeah, fuck you, man. This job fucking sucks.
So she, and this is the other thing about Rose. Like, I thought, like, I thought this was going to be an episode where she was, like, just really good at the job the whole time and was like, you know, I was really divided, but I decided to do my duty because that's what I signed up for. But, like, she just is, like, so into the cause. And it's, like, fine if you believe in the cause, but, like, I wouldn't turncoat from an organization like the Federation who's actively trying to help to just go work for these idiots who are, like, so easily infiltrated by
fooled. They're fooled. Like,
they're just like, the guys are like, hey, let's let her take a ship. And they're like, no, we like just met her an hour ago. And he's like, I know, but she loves the kind of beef jerky I love. And they're like, what? And she's just like so charmed. It's like, these people are the worst. They're not going to win.
I wanted to see the moment where the old guy is like, hey, Kalita, she's going to sleep with you until we find her a place. And Kalita's like, ugh. And I'm like, I'm Kalita. We're all Kalita. No one wants to get someone in their room.
We're all suddenly. Kalita in that moment. Just like, oh, so we don't have anywhere for this new person to stay. So Kalita, mm-hmm.
she's
you can,
sleeping with you.
Right? That's we don't chill,
have,
right?
It does seem like we have like a normal, pretty, it's a small town, but it's a town. There's no fucking hotel, nothing.
There we go. Like,
searing strong. You'd make an old man very happy.
I would enjoy making it again.
Also, Macy's. She never smiles so genuinely, yeah. So it's particular to see Ro like this.
I've checked with my sources at Starfleet. Her story's true.
You have bad sources.
I was sure it was. Kalita, she'll stay with you until we can find her a room.
Great. Okay. You know that I only have one room, right? Not two rooms? So...
Look at that. They live in a fucking resort, and they can't find another room for her.
There you are.
It's so nice.
It's literally a hotel. Here. It's literally Las Vegas downstairs.
So yeah. Kalita's like, cool. Because okay. It's a hotel. So, I mean, there's no conventions here at the moment that I know of.
It's just because she's the woman. She's just like, ugh, this woman will bullshit again. Fucking.
But that's like now two moments of like the story I'd rather see. One is like the... fucking what happened to that guy that she randomly made out with at the bar. I'd rather follow his story, and now I'd rather just see the two of them being like, okay, it's just that I prefer the toothpaste over here. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, whatever, I know you're new, but like
do you always sleep with like a light like screaming into your face? Because I don't
I mean,
like, at least is it a double?
It's just such a anyway.
I wish they showed the like La Quinta 1995 inn where the room was they were in. They're like, anyway, this is space.
So we're pitching now. So yeah, we have two little webisodes for
thank
this.
Thank you. I know. And then they have this meeting.
We've just heard a disturbing rumor.
Another rumor?
One that I think we should take seriously. A traitor coming from Pendi 2 said he could verify that the Cardassians are going to start supplying their colonists with biogenic weapons.
I thought every shipment coming into the zone was searched.
The Cardassians always seem to find a way around problems like that.
Then we have to make a preemptive strike. Send a message to the Cardassians that we won't sit still while they kill us with toxins.
Agreed. But we can't mount a strike without medical supplies, and our stockpile is dangerously low.
If we put in a request for more, it'll draw suspicion.
I can get medical supplies. I served on the Enterprise. They always have extra medkits on hand for relief missions.
You're wanted by Starfleet. They're not going to give you medkits just because you ask for them.
I have no intention of asking for them. I intend to take them.
How? The Enterprise is a fortress.
I know its security fortress. Systems. Give me a ship. I can do this.
This is madness.
We can't let her do something like this. We don't know anything about her.
I know that she can make very strong Hasparat.
What?
We need medical supplies. I would have reacted the same way. I think we should let her try.
Like, what? So bananas. Okay, well, now you're fucked. And so then she just goes and does it and, like, brings this lady with her, is able to transmit to the Enterprise what she's doing, obviously, because they can do all these special signals. They can, like, send a beam with, like, a little, like, a comment on the beam request or whatever that's like, hey, by the way, I'm around. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. And then they get away with it. And she's just, like, a hero suddenly. And then they're, like, hanging out. And then, like, the fucking Cardassians come in. And I was, like, genuinely pissed when this happened. A bunch of dumb shit Cardassians come in and just start shooting, like fucking, you know, America 2021 fucking mall shooting.
Damn, yo.
And I'm like, well, this is going to fuck up the whole thing. Now Ro is going to be like, well, honestly, yeah.
Keep spitting, Alice. We want to hear it.
She has to now be on their side because she's like, I can't believe this shit. Like, they're just hanging out. In, you know, most of these people are civilians. Most of these people are not McKee. And they just come into a market and start shooting. Like, how fucked up? Like, obviously, she's going to join the cause at that point. She's Ro Laren. And then she has to go tell Picard about it in a really close talking way.
Oh, there are multiple moments where he stands way too close to her. And I was like, this is not okay, folks.
Well, there's... the scene at the bar too, where they're like, literally.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was, yeah. But even the part where they're walking down the hallway in the very beginning, I was like,
yeah, that's the hallmark of this show though.
The scene at the bar, I was like, wait one second. I was a little emotional about it. Cause it's like, it's Ro. She had an opportunity before to say no. She had two opportunities at the beginning when they assigned this mission to her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm doing it just for you. And then a second time when Picard is like, we're going to lure them. And she doesn't say like, hey, they're my friends now and they're not as bad as you think. So like, this is not the best strategy.
Yeah.
And she had an opportunity there. And she just didn't take it. So like, this is the third time. They're at a bar. Their foreheads are like against each other. She's just like, I don't believe in this anymore. Just so you know. And he's like, fuck. So it's just like the ultimate heartbreak from like a daughter figure while they're pretending to be prostitutes, you know, like hiring a prostitute. Yeah.
You know, when it's Father's Day, you get together
like
for brunch with your dad and you put your forehead right on him, you know, just that kind of thing. Like, it's so, well, like, it, that's what pissed me off so much, because the show made it so, the script made it so easy for her to turn, because it was like, that's the thing. Like, he gave her two opportunities. And like, for me, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, it's sort of like a really ineffective left-wing activist group or something, where you're like, look, I believe in what they're doing, but like, taking fucking barrels and like wheelbarrows of cow shit and putting it in front of the White House. Yeah, I'll infiltrate them. They're not doing it right. So I will, even though I believe in what they're trying to fight for. It's just the fucking dumbest. Like, they spray painted those barrels. Like, spray painting is not good. Anyway, whatever. But then all of a sudden, if the Capitol Police came out and shot them, I'd be like, okay, well, now I'm on their side. Like, yeah. Fuck.
I don't want to be too logic policey about this, I guess, but like, wouldn't like a videotape or even just like testimony of what just happened in the previous scene pretty much kind of wipe out this whole episode? It's like, hey, but then we have like 100 eyewitnesses of these people who are dead. We have their bodies, and
yes,
it's the future.
We probably
have evidence.
She never told anyone about it. She never told Picard about it. She never told Riker about it. Like, the whole point of her going undercover is so she can get intel. So that's intel. Like, it is intel.
When they were like, I was wondering if she was communicating with Starfleet, and then one of the captain's logs is like, we haven't heard from Ro Laren in 1 week. And I'm like, but what's the point? Like, I was just hoping she would give them like little Morse code notes, being like,
emails.
Oh, the guys are kind of nice. Yeah, just like, hey, just bumping this up. Picard just like emailing her like, hey, bumping this one up.
There was a shooting today. In. Bumping this. Shooting in a market. Bumping again.
Checking in. Checking just, in.
Mm-hmm. Checking in. Want to get on same page.
The whole peace treaty you're trying to preserve. Evidence, direct evidence that it has been violated. I have it here. I don't have to be here anymore, actually. You could just
exactly Like, if the Federation knew about the weird fucking mall mass shooting the Cardassians did, they'd be like, yeah, okay, fucking, it's off. Like, but the thing is, yeah, the Federation, like, really doesn't want to go back to war with the Cardassians. So they're doing everything they can possibly do to make sure the Cardassians are, like, okay, mm-hmm, you know, and, like, taken care of, including, like, looking away when they take weapons into their system that they're not supposed to. So it's, like, a kind of... I sort of like that part of it, that it's like, that's very realistic. Like, that is how, yeah, you know.
But also, everything you're saying now feels like a scene, doesn't it? It feels like a pretty intense conversation with Riker that would be, yeah, very dramatic and good. You,
yeah,
know?
That's true.
Why are you betraying us? Well, this all happened and we don't trust you. I don't trust you to do this because the Federation always looks away.
Yeah. Mm. And then it could be about Riker not believing her because he doesn't, like, understand most things. And he just would be like, he's just like, she seems upset, which I don't trust it. Like, mm-hmm, she's getting all upset about something, like going back to the ship and be like, I don't like when women get upset.
Yeah, I don't say the B word anymore, but you know, that's what he would say.
I haven't said the B word since 1985, and I wasn't even alive.
So this is the very last one. The Riker has 5 undercover assignments in the series. He's played like different races and species. So she's blackface.
He's been Bajoran 5 times. And it's funny because, like, at this point, just because, like, that's even more strange. He's famous. Like, he's really famous and he keeps going undercover. So, like, those organizations that he infiltrated later on were like, you were Riker the whole time. At this point, the whole galaxy would know, like, if a guy shows up, he's 6'2". He's got a, like, Alaskan accent or whatever. Like, you gotta know. You gotta know. Nobody's allowing that, you know? And he's just, like, always around. Oh, yeah, he has a cousin. And probably the McKee are like, oh, well, she's got a cousin. But, you know, we trust her now because she got the med kits. She got the Band-Aids and stuff. So, you know, even though he does look exactly like that guy who infiltrated every other species.
Mm-hmm. Exactly like the guy who is... second in command of the fucking Enterprise. Federation flagship that is here. It's in the neighborhood. We saw it yesterday.
Like, they're like looking at pictures of Riker and they're like, is it him? Because I could, the bridge of the nose. And like, stop talking about the bridge of the nose. He's obviously wearing Bajoran.
Yeah, you couldn't possibly fake that.
they need so much help.
Oh. So the amazing. In Star Trek, in the fandom, in the Memory Alpha fandom, they have a photo of Picard when he finds out that Ro actually left. She was just done with it all. And it says, it's a photo of angry Picard, and it says, Picard, betrayed by Ro. And I just think it's so funny. I don't know why, but everyone should go to the website and just check it out.
Send me just put the link in the chat and I'll put it on the screen.
About to do it.
So let's watch this scene where they're like almost in love at the bar because it's super sensual.
We have to cancel the mission.
Why?
Well, the Maquis didn't go for the bait. They think the convoy is too big a target.
There are only 6 ships. We could even cut back that number.
It's the commitment of resources, of grouping so many of the Maquis together at once. They feel that it makes them too vulnerable.
Every intelligence report that I get from Starfleet suggests that the Maquis are eager to expand their strikes. They want to escalate their activities. Now, you're telling me this isn't true.
It's probably different in every cell. The people I've met tend to be more conservative. I'm sure others have a more militant attitude.
Aaron, what's going on?
Do you have the money I asked you to bring?
Yes.
Put some on the table.
What?
By this time, you should be negotiating my price.
So, like, do her friends know that she's, like, also a hooker?
Just sex worker. Real intense all of a sudden.
When you sent me on this mission, I thought that I could do it. Even though it meant helping the Cardassians, even though it meant betraying people who were fighting against them. Now I'm not sure where I stand.
I'm in character right now, but I'm hot as a rock.
You want to back out of this mission?
Okay, out of character.
Sir, I don't want to let you down.
Oh, you won't. You know what I'm saying? All right, sorry.
Damn,
Alice. If you back out now, you'll throw away everything you've worked for. We're committed to this mission. My only question for you is, can you carry out your orders? I could put you before a board of inquiry
and a threat
about this operation. I would certainly have you court-martialed for sabotage. Now, it's your decision.
Would it be a sexy court-martial?
Damn, I know.
Like, it sounds a little...
I'll carry out my orders, sir.
Damn.
Super sub-dom.
Sex-martial.
Mm-hmm. I feel it necessary to have
sex with you.
Have Commander Riker go back with you.
She's like, come on.
A relative.
Nope.
That fucking guy.
Nothing happens to obstruct this mission.
Literally, it's Borat. At this point. Like, nobody should be fooled. As a normal relative of a Rolaren. Like... Also, in this economy, like, maybe in the future, like, sex work has changed from something where people just, like, are really gross and, like, make out and do lap dances to, like, just super intense talks.
That, I mean, he got almost what he paid for. Okay, here's a question, though. Is it typical of this part of Star Trek to be that, like, real about shit? Like, because it got, like, it went from, like, clown show, cop show to all of a sudden, like... Like, we should be negotiating my price. Like, what fucking kind of line is that compared to the rest of this episode? It's so crazy.
Why? Because it's so, like, overt?
Yeah, and it's so, like, intense. It's just like, Oh, that brought in so many things that are, like, too real compared to, like, how, like, buffoonish everything else has been.
Yeah, I feel like women's bodies being for sale, though, is just, like, sort of part of the cartoonish nature of, you know.
I guess so, yeah.
Like, there's like, boop, 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 boop. Women are for sale. You know, like, it can be played off really easily. Oh, like, you're a kid watching this and you're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I
guess. It's 2024 and women are still for sale. Yeah.
Is it, right, because this is for kids-ish.
No, it's like, for... I mean, kids, it's like family friendly. Like, they never have any sex scenes. But yeah. It's... You know, most kids are just like watch it and get really bored.
Right. And that was a perfect tune out scene.
Yeah, exactly. If you're watching it, you'd be like, I don't know. Sounds like they're having a really, you know, one of those
boring
mom-dad talks.
Yeah. They are, I guess.
They are.
It's just like, it's weird because like at the beginning when she first sits next to him. That conversation, I was like, this is kind of sexy for me if I could do a role play like this. Be like,
absolutely.
Like the first two lines they say when she sits with him at the bar. I was like, yep, this is a game I would play. This is exactly what I would do.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the previous to last episode. Oh, well, Picard after this conversation is like, I got to send Riker with you. Riker dresses up. He puts on his earring, his little gunk.
Like, imagine he relishes it. Like, he opens up his big costumes closet, like the UCB, and he's just like, here we go.
He's me. He's literally me. I have, like, classifications of earrings and little shit that I can put on. He'd be, like, opening little cases.
With little earrings.
His little Bajoran earrings.
Like, and his applying little, like, his falsies, and he's like, be right there.
Just the glue. Gluing his falsies.
It's like Bajoran drag race.
He's doing he's in his ship with Ro, and suddenly Ro is telling the Maquis, like, oh, there's a Federation ship hiding and turns to Riker and like aims at him, which I also thought was pretty sexy. Like, I'm down to be aimed at with a thing, and then, or like to aim at someone actually. And then she ultimately betrays him.
Mm-hmm.
And she just says, tell Picard, like, I'm sorry. So the last thing we hear Ro say, so Riker's like, so long, Ro, take care of yourself. And she's like, goodbye, Will. Energize. Which is pretty badass.
And like, I like how she's like, can you tell Picard something for me before I just completely betray him? Like, why would, like, if you're Riker at that point, you'd be like, no, fuck you. I'm not going to give him the message yourself when you don't do this. Like, I'd be just like, no, bitch. Like, this is so crazy. Do you know how much time I spent in the makeup chair? Like, for this one scene? Like, fuck you. Like, absolutely not. I will not relay your message. Just tell him, like, hello. Like, fuck off.
I don't want to.
He's like, my ear is fully pierced. And they didn't even have to do that. But I'm committed.
Is that like a clip thing on the ear or several piercings? How
it's
does one hold?
So what it is it's a piercing and a cuff.
Mm-hmm.
People wear this a lot.
It's a piercing, I know.
And well, then there's like know. This little ear climber thing that goes mm-hmm. around this area. Yeah. Pretty uncomfortable so for me.
Normal pierced in a normal spot. It's not like pierced high and hanging down. Got it. All right.
Yeah. Well, they might imply that it's pierced over there, but it's not in non-universe talk. So that's it. That's it for Ro.
That's it for Ro. Michelle. And that's it.
What's her name? Michelle Rhodes? Forbes?
Michelle Forbes.
What a corporate name.
It is a corporate name.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why she didn't want to do it. She's like too fucking rich.
Maybe she's a Republican.
I hope so.
It'd be great if she was just like, states' rights, you know? She just didn't agree or get along with anybody. Like the fucking Mandalorian lady. She's like, I'm sick of getting canceled.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my vibe.
She
Spiner's always talking
work.
About like organic food. I don't like it.
Oh, she was in The Killing. I didn't watch The Killing.
Oh, she was in that. Oh, yeah. She played the mom in The Killing.
Hmm.
Yeah. Have you not seen that show?
Mm-mm.
I call it the night, like the murder of the world's busiest girl. Because like every episode of The Killing is them being like, you're going to have to talk to her friend that she went to prom with. And like, she went to prom that night she was killed? Like, yep. And then they go to the prom guy and he's like, you'll have to talk to the professor she went to go visit after she went to the prom with me. It's like, oh, but not before the after party, right? Yeah, that was after the after party. It's like the longest fucking night of her life. Christ. At this point, I'd be like, yeah, I'll die. I'm fucking tired.
It's fine. You spent 15 minutes. You got a little timer. Everyone gets 25 minutes. And then I do got to go, actually.
It's the world's
Sorry.
Most popular person. Andrew, do you have anything you'd like to, I don't know, plug on your way out of this season?
Of this series.
Of this series?
Of your, yeah, of Star Trek.
All of it.
I guess, I don't know. Yo's This Racist is my podcast.
You guys been going on for a while.
Just it's a great
do whatever
podcast.
The fuck you want. Do whatever
Even
the fuck
I
you want.
Haven't been on it.
Yeah. Veronica, you got to come on sometime.
You'd be such a good guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wonderful.
If you can get her to commit to a day and a time even, then you'll be on.
But here's the thing. But literally all I need is that. It's
true.
A day and a time.
What about a time and no day? And I'll just try. I'll just try you at 4:45.
What do you want from me?
That is a crazy, cruel joke.
Right, well.
Okay. See you at 3 p.m.
What?
What day?
Every day at 3 p.m. I'll just be dressed. I'll be dressed with my little gloves, just waiting
at the bus stop, like a Forrest Gump. Yo, is this racist? You're on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Follow Andrew on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's very good.
Thank you. Yeah,
you
want to
say
all.
What your Twitter handle is?
Oh, Andrew T. Last name is spelled T-I. Did we say my name? My name is Andrew T. Hi, everyone.
I don't think we ever introduced
you read it in the fucking thing.
Our guest today, Andrew T.
What's
Welcome,
up?
Everyone.
Hi. Nice to be here.
This was great, Andrew. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's so, so lovely to see both of you. It's, I don't know. It's so nice to, it's nice to be maybe near the end of the COVID, but it's also nice to do a podcast and then not have to drive anywhere before. Or
I'm
after.
Like, yeah, this is the this one is thing for me that's going to stay.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a podcast because it sounds good.
Yeah.
We've gotten fine. Really good at it, I think.
Everyone
I don't
sounds
know if
fine.
Our fans feel that way, but I sure do. And even if they don't, I don't care.
I'll just say I'll say it for you. Fuck you if you don't like the sound. It's always perfect.
Skylar producer wants to weigh in. I think our episodes sound good. Yeah, of course you do. You're the reason why.
Ah, poor Skylar. Poor Skylar.
He says thank you.
What a day. Thank you for having me.
I'm just so pleasure. Glad you were able to do this and really exciting to be able to see you and talk to you. You're
yeah.
a good person and friend and comedian.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm bad at one of those things. Everyone take a guess. Write in the comments which you think I'm bad at.
All right, wait in the comments, you guys. Which thing is Andrew bad at? And we'll see you when the series has its next iteration, whatever that is.
Yeah. Oh, I should say, actually, for anyone listening to this, for real, my co-host on
Yo, Is This Racist?
Yo, Is This Racist? Is on Star Trek Lower Decks.
Lower Tawny Decks, Newsom. Tawny Newsom. I know. We had she actually cannot do this show right now.
I didn't want to say, but yes, she's not allowed.
But
so that's
she
why I'm
is
here.
A friend and a great, great person as well. And she's
everything I just said is those are Tawny's words. She's been writing them down for me. So
she is wonderful. And if you want to hear from Tawny, definitely go listen to Yo, Is This Racist as
yes,
well as
yes.
your daily dose
I forgot.
Of tea.
There's a reason Star Trek people might listen to Yo, Is This Racist, yes, and it's not
exactly.
me.
Well, now it is.
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.